wherever you listen throughout the world. It's football time.
All right, and we're back for week 10 of the Gridiron, guys, after another huge week of football. How are you traveling this week, Cam?
Yeah, pretty good this week, mate. Not much happening, and I suppose the only thing of note this week is OBJ. What do you think is going to happen with him?
Well, he's cleared waivers today, so I think everyone heeded his warning that no non-playoff teams to pick him up. Are we surprised that the drama queen of the NFL was going to kick up a stink if someone potentially like the Lions or whatever was going to get him? Yeah, probably not. But now he's a free agent and he's available to sign wherever. So I suppose it's going to look like he's going to go to a potential playoff team, obviously. Talks are, I believe, the Packers are probably number one. And then there are teams to throw around like the Chiefs, the Raiders, and so forth. So plenty of potential landing spots. I suppose the biggest questions are going to be cap space. Are teams ready to take on another diva if they've already got one? What are your thoughts?
I agree with you there. I think that's the cap one is probably the biggest. I know he wants to go wherever he wants to go, but someone's got to eat that $7 million cap, which isn't a small hit. And there's probably not a lot of teams at this time of year with injuries already plagued teams when they've got to bring in other guys that have that kind of money. So, I think Packers, as you said, is probably the most likely landing spot. But we've seen, as you said, Raiders, Saints, Chiefs, and even Patriots talk to him. I mean, Patriots would be interesting, but I think he's going to end up with the Packers.
Yeah, Patriots could be an interesting one. I mean, you already saw that Bill tried that with Brown a few years ago, and that didn't really work out. And I think, to a lesser extent, Josh Gordon as well. Correct me if I'm wrong.
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, but you know, like somewhere like the Packers could be interesting. I suppose that all depends if Aaron Rodgers gets himself out of coronavirus lockdown and sorts out his medical side. But anyways, enough diving into the woo-woo for him. But I think the Chiefs could be a really good landing spot because it provides Mahomes with the answer to basically, it's not going to solve their problem, but I think it's going to be a Band-Aid solution for them at the moment. We can sort of see with the Chiefs at the moment, we know their problem is the run game and that, you know, they're dropping the two safeties back to basically defuse their wideouts, as say Hill and that. So if you add in someone like OBJ, that gives them essentially three large targets, the two wide receivers and tight end, and you could potentially nullify that cover two by sending that basically the two guys out wide, and then you're splitting those safeties and breaking open the middle for someone to sort of come in through the middle and take those nice, easy catches. So it's not going to solve their problems on defense. It's not going to solve their run game, but it's a hell of a lot easier signing him than it is overhauling their whole defense. So I could see him fitting quite well there. The other one I do like is Raiders because they've had a lot of cuts recently. The biggest one, obviously, is Ruggs. He could essentially be a like-for-like replacement for Ruggs, and it's a plug-and-play, and that's why I kind of think it's good. Top of the AFC West as well. Carr seems to be playing well, so I don't see why not. Other than that, you know, you look at the Saints, their issues at quarterback, sort of vibe me to think that he may stay away from them. And yeah, we sort of mentioned with the Patriots, I don't know if he would sort of gel with Belichick essentially at the moment. So I'd probably lean towards Chiefs, but it'll all be dependent on cap space, I suppose.
Yeah, that's probably not a bad take. I think I'll stay with the Packers. I reckon he'll end up there, but I reckon we'll probably wake up in the morning and find the news. So we'll see where he does end up.
Yeah, absolutely. So I suppose should we move on to our week 9 recap. Unfortunately, we went down with the best bets. The winning streak is gone. Not that it was really a streak. It was just one, I suppose. But we like to revel in our wins, I suppose. What took your fancy in week 9?
Well, I was going to touch on the Bills-Jags game, but I'm not going to because that cost me my multi, and that was the one leg I lost, which was just ridiculous. I'll probably have to go with Ravens-Vikings first. I'll touch on my boys. I suppose, does this put the narrative behind Lamar now that he can't win from behind? Four times this year they've been behind and they're 3-1 in those scenarios, only going down in OT to the Raiders. So do you think that's kind of put that to bed?
Has to be. Like, look at this. He has fought down. Well, it was about 17-3 at one point, wasn't it? And then just towards the end of the second quarter, he managed to get those one just before halftime. And then you basically go down 24-10 in the third quarter to come back and then win 34-31. That's unreal. Look, he dominated on the ground again, didn't he? About 100 yards and over 200 yards passing again. So he basically did what he's – this is what he's good at doing. So he's doing it, and you got a W for that.
Yeah, that's right. I'm kind of sick of him letting us get behind and trying to do this, maybe just to prove a point. But, yeah, it was an interesting game, I suppose. Early on, we were really struggling. There was kind of three big plays that led to a lot of points for the Vikings. There was a Justin Jefferson 50-yard touchdown catch on a 3rd and 7. Cook ran for 66 yards, didn't finish in a TD, but pretty much set him up. That's probably his biggest run of the year. And then, as you said, right after halftime at the start of the second half, a 98-yard kickoff touchdown, which put us down 24-10. I suppose after that, we controlled the ball for the rest of the game and scored on the next three drives. And I suppose our defense stood up because we went to OT. Lamar threw an unfortunate pick, and then our D stood up. And Tucker has always delivered, so I can't complain with that.
Look, you get the W and you move to 6-2, which looks quite good in your standings at the moment, actually. So I think you're top of the division now with Pittsburgh getting the win and Cincinnati, who were top of the division and top of the AFC last week, are now sitting at the bottom of the AFC North due to tiebreakers. Life comes at you fast, doesn't it?
Oh, good. Yeah, I'm glad. After they wipe the floor with this, it's good to see them back where they belong at the bottom. Yeah, look, I think whenever you get a W, there's always an L that comes that way, and we've lost another player to injured reserve for the rest of the year. So I don't know how long we can keep this up for with the amount of injuries that are stacking up. I know we're getting a few guys back, but I don't think it can last as long as it can.
Yeah, so longevity might play a key, especially through a deep playoff run.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, who did you like in our games this week?
Probably starting off the Thursday night football game, Indianapolis versus Indianapolis Colts, which is correct.
Yeah, them up against the Jets, that's right.
I've got Indy versus Colts on my sheet. Indianapolis versus the New York Jets, apologies. So the Jets were coming back on, you know, after riding a bit of a high, they came in, Mike White came out and balled out again. Unfortunately, went down with an injury pretty early. So the backup, Johnson, came in, but it took him a little while to get settled, and Carson Wentz managed to get rolling. But it was Jonathan Taylor who did all the damage with over 172 yards and 2 TDs. He absolutely monstered those guys.
Yeah, he's probably the best running back in the league at the moment now that Derrick Henry is out. Without him, I suppose he's probably the second best in stats, and yeah, he's going really well. I think that was Carson Wentz, probably his best game statistically ever. I think he had a quarterback rating of 130+, and he threw for 3 TDs. Jets kind of made it look reasonable in the end. I think they got some junk time stats and some junk time points to make it reasonable. But yeah, it's unfortunate that Mike White went down. He started really hot. I think Colts probably would have won this in the end anyway. Their ground game, as you said, was just unbelievable. It's kind of weird. Robert Saleh has been brought in as a defensive mastermind, and defensively they are horrific.
No, not good at all, really. Hey, so especially when you're going into a shootout with a team like the Colts, who are not known for scoring big points, especially this year. That's probably their highest score all year. But you sort of look at the Josh Johnson performance, and towards the end, he did make it sort of respectable. He got over 300 yards, 3 TDs.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Does this performance sort of push Wilson to potentially... Not only we were talking about maybe QB2, but now he's looking at maybe falling further down the depth chart when he comes back from injury.
Yeah, it's hard to say, I suppose. I think they've gone all in on him, so they've got to kind of respect him and use him. Mike White really put up a case. If he got to play this week and we saw more from him, yeah, it would really put up a case to say, are you better than Wilson? Because, I mean, Wilson so far hasn't been fantastic. I suppose it's hard to put that pressure on a rookie, but he's just not delivering.
Yeah, no, not at all. But then on the flip side, we're looking at the Colts. This now brings them to a record of 4-5. We're sort of over that midway part of the season. Looking at their playoff hopes, I think even though they got the win this week, they're starting to disappear week by week looking at them. So currently going ahead for their next 4 weeks, they've got a matchup against the Jags, Bills, Bucks, and the Texans. So you at least say they definitely take 2 wins out of 4 there. That brings them to about a 6-win six, seven loss potentially, if they maybe get one over the Bucks or the Bills, depending on. And you sort of look that up against their division against the Titans, who are looking quite comfortable at 7-2 at the moment. Mm. I don't know if they're going to be able to keep up with the Titans potentially. And so they're in a hunt for a wild card spot. But even then, I think at the moment with their record, that wild card spot is getting slimmer and slimmer.
Yeah, the wild card in the AFC, I think, is probably the most exciting race for the end of the year. Yeah, look, I think they've been pretty unfortunate in a few games. I suppose that game against the Ravens, and I think they did have an overtime loss against the Titans the first time they played him. Derrick Henry ran wild on him.
Yep.
So I think they've probably been like the Vikings. They've probably been pretty unfortunate, and it could cost them in the long run. But, yeah, those next 4 weeks, as you said, are very key for these guys.
Yeah, so we'll keep an eye on that. But it's looking like we're almost being able to start to pencil some guys out for the playoffs. Another one that turned my eye was the Pittsburgh versus the Bears. That was the Monday night game, which was sort of clouded over with a bit of controversy of the taunting call, which has been an issue throughout the whole year. The No Fun League is back, unfortunately. What was your take on it?
Yeah, I watched a bit of this game, and I mean, that was one of many calls that I thought were pretty questionable. I mean, that's one of the worst officiating I've seen in quite a while. Not only the fact that I hate the Steelers as a Ravens fan, but just in general, like, I think it was a fairly poor, like, yeah, like, penalties are deserved when they are deserved, but some of these were just very contentious. And that taunting call, as you said, they've come out and defended it, but yeah, there's not much to it there. I think that's really unfortunate. The kick the guy did was impressive, but I think that turned the course of the game for me.
Yeah, it was a tough one for them, especially because I was reading that guy was actually elevated from the practice squad that day of the game. So it's an unfortunate way to make a name for yourself. But look, it came into it. I think the other interesting things from that game, Fields looks to be finding his feet at the moment now. He played a pretty decent game, you know, 290 yards, one TD, one interception. He did get tormented by TJ Watt. So under pressure all day, you feel for him there. But he's actually starting to put it together a little bit, isn't he?
Yeah, I agree. After Mikko sort of served it to him, I think he's come out and gone as what I kind of expected him to be able to do. This is the guy that I wanted that came out of the draft. And I suppose we're very like picky on guys coming straight out of the draft, straight out of college. And I think sometimes it's a little unfair because they take a bit of time. There's some guys that come in and just dominate from the get-go, but he might not be one of those guys. But it's good to see. I'm happy with him.
Yeah, but speaking of rookies that have dominated from the get-go, you look at the ones for the Steelers. Najee Harris, how can you not love this guy? He is
playing
absolute balls deep. We also talk about Freiermuth. He's been great lately. And then obviously Presley Harvin as well, a fan favorite of ours. He was just kicking the lights out again. But definitely Najee Harris is one that is just an absolute baller. Look, he rolled in again with another 60-odd yards on the ground and then a couple through the air as well. So he's just providing on all levels.
Oh, he certainly is. And there was quite an interesting story on him when they were talking during the game of like him living out, like him being homeless through a lot of his youth and stuff like that. And I suppose football was one thing that really got him to where he wants to be. And I suppose he can really support his family now, which is great for them. I think that's such a good story.
Yeah, we love that. And moving on, a couple more games for this week. What else caught your eye?
I'm going to go through to Titans and Rams. I kind of wrote the Titans off last week. Though I had them as my dying because I wasn't sure how they were going to go without their man, Derrick Henry. Now, it probably wasn't their offense that set the world on fire. They were pretty good. Their defense has just really stood up. Guys like Jeffrey Simmons, Kevin Byard, just playing absolutely lights out. So I suppose this game really turned the corner with the back-to-back picks, which was one led into Kevin Byard, pick six, and I think that just broke the Rams from there.
Yeah, well, Stafford got absolutely hammered again. He took five sacks, two interceptions as well. He was just – and especially when you're dropping back about 48 attempts – when you're getting hurried on multiples of those, like 10 to 15, it can really get you off your rhythm and things like that. So credit to the Titans. They kept it quite well. You know, Tannehill's basically doing a job. They did it without a running game as well, which was quite handy. But they did bring in Adrian Peterson, who did a tiny job. I don't think we're going to see, unfortunately, not what he used to be, but he's going to be able to be there. And I suppose it begs the question, do you think they'll be able to hold out long enough to get Henry back in? You know, minimal was 6 weeks. That might be pushing it. This is looking like he's coming back playoff, maybe second or third game. You'd still punch him in, though, if he's available.
Oh, 100%. And I suppose they're still going to jag a few wins. Like, they're going to be very good, very well positioned come the playoffs because they've got games coming up against the Texans and the Jaguars as in division rivals. So I think that plays in their favour if they can get Henry back and they're still playing at the level that they're playing, barring any injuries. Outside of that, I think Titans are a very dangerous team come playoffs this year.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, before I forget, or how could I forget, a very dangerous team over the weekend.
Oh boy.
Get ready for this. An absolute huge win by the Denver Broncos, who marched all the way to America's team. Not only the beat the team, the best offensive team in the league, but they did it in their own home ground. And we shut them out for so long as well. It was just a great game. 30-16 win by the Broncos. Everyone just played their role. It was amazing. You know, Bridgewater was great. He made minimal mistakes, or none at all, really. Javonte Williams was unreal. This was his first 100-yard-plus yard game. So he was, we just dominated them. A normally quite stout run defense. You know, Williams got over 100 yards, and I think Gordon racked up at about 80 as well. So you're pretty much getting just around 200 rushing yards. And that's just, oh, that just sets a beautiful platform for the boys.
Yeah, I was actually really impressed with your boys. I suppose they've come on a bit of a rocky ride over the last few weeks. Cowboys coming in is probably one of the number one offenses, and you just made them look absolutely like pedestrian. And it's interesting because your defense is so good, but what you I found you did well is you really exposed, I think, is a weakness on their defense, which we've talked about before, which is Trayvon Diggs. Now, those numbers that he puts up with intercepts looks amazing, and I think he's fallen in love with the idea of intercepts. And he plays that risky play a lot. So you've just kind of taken him on. If he doesn't get the pick, he gets burnt for a lot of yards. He gets burnt for some big plays. And I think you guys just really picked that apart.
Yeah, some good running routes by Patrick this week. He got all over him. I think he got 4 out of 5 targets. So he had a pretty productive day, including a touchdown. So,
yeah,
look, and I think that's the thing with Diggs is if you're going to deal in intercepts, you got to make them. So he's letting up the yards, but he's getting the intercepts. And you know, you'd take that. If he's getting the pick sixes, he's won a couple games off them as well, you take that. But if you're not delivering and people are working you out and they're working you one-on-one in the man, then you're just going to get burnt every day of the week. And it's going to be something that people will look forward to now. They've got a bit of tape to see how it is. And this isn't, you know, Patrick's a great receiver. Bridgewater, not a high-end QB, but anyone on that top echelon is going to see that. They're going to be able to pick you apart.
Yeah, 100%. So it's interesting to see how the Cowboys bounce back. I suppose we were pretty happy with Dak's stat padding towards the end there. So it got us a win in fantasy because he got a few touchdowns at the end. Prior to that, he looked absolutely horrible.
Yeah, no, he just struggled for consistency. And I think their issue was they showed us no respect, which I suppose they were a big team coming off a bye. They're pretty much top of the league. They went for it on fourth down so many times. There were so many three and outs, and then they attempted those fourth downs, I think about 3 or 4 times there, and they just could not connect at all. I know I'm pretty sure Amari Cooper had his first drop of the season as well. So it wasn't clicking at all.
Yeah, no good.
All right, I think that about wraps up week 9. Shall we move on to our weekly awards?
Let's do it.
All right, this week on the Rookie Watch, let's kick it off, Cam. Who has stunned you from the first-year players?
So we talked about him before, and you were talking about Steelers rookies, and it's not Najee Harris this week. I have gone for Pat Freiermuth. The tight end out of Penn State was taken in the 2nd round by the Steelers. Now, I suppose they had Eric Ebron, and that was kind of it for them at tight end. So this is kind of their guy going forward at tight end 1. We drafted him, and we took him late in fantasy because I thought, oh, yeah, this guy I don't mind is a bit of a Smokey to do some things in this season. And he started off really slow. And the last 3 weeks, he's been finding some targets from Big Ben. Doesn't go for massive yards, but he gets those crucial catches. And he scored a touchdown last week. And this week, he's had his best game easily. 5 receptions from 6 targets, 2 touchdowns, in made him tight end 1 in fantasy this week. So that's my rookie of the week.
Yeah, love that. I'm going to move on to the man, Devontae Smith. He played an absolute statement game in this week's loss to the Chargers, and he basically left it all out on the field. He did everything he could to help get the Eagles the win this week. The number 10 pick racked up 116 yards over 5 catches and a touchdown, and all of his plays included plenty of rack yards. So you saw that he was just getting the ball and fighting for every single yard. So it was nice to sort of see Hurts, not the greatest long passer, so he made an adjustment. He dropped it into Smith and let him play ball, and I think it worked out quite well for them.
Yeah, this is great. This is kind of what we were expecting, and Eagles fans would have been expecting out of Smith in the 1st round. So it's good to see him starting to get a bit of production.
Yeah, huge. All right, now we'll move on to the next one. Flying and dying. Who was flying for you this week, Cam?
Flying this week. Now, I was going to take the AFC as a whole because they went 7-1 against the NFC, but I'm going to go specifically towards the Jacksonville Jaguars getting their first win in, I believe, 420 days on US soil in a 6-9 victory over the Bills. Now, like, I suppose if you looked preseason, you would have said this would have been a whitewash. This is what cost me my multi. I had a -9.5. The line was 16, I believe. So it's a huge statement win from them. And I suppose the biggest players of the day was the Josh Allen on Josh Allen field day. I think he collected a fumble, a sack, and an intercept on his namesake. But yeah, I'm excited for the Jags there. They're actually playing some reasonable football, defensively really good. I think the Bills outgained the Jaguars easily. But yeah, I think they just stood up and got the turnovers and got the win.
Yeah, look, speaking of Josh Allen, that was my flying this week. I had Josh Allen of Jacksonville fame, not of Buffalo. He proved himself as the better Josh Allen in the NFL this year, so he gets to keep the tagline until they play next. So as you mentioned, he had himself a field day against his counterpart. He recorded one sack, a fumble recovery, and an interception. And so I believe these are history makings in the NFL as well for the first time that a Josh Allen has sacked, intercepted, and recovered a fumble off another Josh Allen. So I doubt we may see that again, but, you know, he had a good day. He can't blame himself. He takes home the game ball for me.
Beautiful. Who have you got as dying this week?
This week I have the Raiders 2020 draft class. So they've had a bit of a rocky, let's say they've had a bit of a rocky play of it this year. The Raiders with Gruden and those sorts of things, bit of off field, has continued to follow them after Damon Arnett was released the other day for publishing a video in where he threatened to kill said ex-coach John Gruden, which featured himself with a nice little gun and things like that. So, you know, interesting social media these days by the young kids. But anyways, that's all right. So looking at their draft class now, they only have one player left on their roster from that draft class. They had 5 picks in the top 100. So two of those, which were in the top 20, which was Damon. The other one, which was being Ruggs, who was released to a DUI. The other two, one was Muse, who was released after injuring his foot, and Lynn Bowden Jr., who was traded to the Dolphins. Both those guys actually also never played a snap for the Raiders. So they really got some horrible bang for their buck with that draft class.
Yeah, that's really, really gone sailing down the creek. And I suppose some of those picks were from the Khalil Mack trade, weren't they?
Yeah, correct. So it's, you know, you don't often get 5 picks in the top 100. You know, certainly the Rams never will, but they blew them.
Yeah, that's right. All right. So I suppose dying for me this week, I've gone the quarterback and I've gone Sam Darnold. 3 interceptions against New England. I suppose after starting 3-0, we thought, shit, he's got out of the Jets. He's got out of that awful organization for him, and they're absolutely flying going 3-0. Now, since then, and probably the loss of Christian McCaffrey to injury has probably seen that Darnold isn't the answer for Carolina. And is it fair to officially call him a bust?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I saw today as well, he's actually gone into an injury, so he's going to miss a couple of weeks. So I think this pretty much he's done. I think you can put a line through him quite confidently.
Yeah, do we see him going and staying, or do you reckon like Carolina will draft someone or try and go to someone in the offseason?
I think it depends who's available, but we can certainly lock it in that Sam Darnold will be continuing his career as a journeyman backup QB.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say.
All right, now we'll move on to our team of the year picks. For offense, who have you got this week, Cam?
Or we're going to knock one of the big boys again this week up front. I have gone the man, Shaq Mason from the New England Patriots. The Patriots have been pretty serviceable this year. Mac Jones has probably been the best rookie quarterback. And I think that's in thanks to probably some good work up front. So they had 151 yards on the ground, and I don't believe he allowed a sack or a pressure. As personally, I know Mac Jones did get sacked, but I don't believe it was on the back of anything from Shaq Mason. Was graded 90 by PFF in week 9, so that is my pick this week for offense.
Huge. I went in for Wyatt Teller, the guard from the Browns. They demolished the Bengals this week, absolutely taught them a lesson. Teller lost only one rep in pass protection. He posted a 92 run block grade and made some big plays, recording 5 big-time blocks, which is graded as the most by an offensive lineman in a single game this season. Now, the interesting thing as well, Wyatt Teller is due for free agency. He's currently earning a penny at $2.18 million. So he is going to look to extend this because he's going to cash in big time.
I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I think he might have signed a contract very recently, might have been today or yesterday. I think he might have signed a four-year deal. I think I might have to look that up, but you could correct me if I'm wrong. I'll have a look at that. Who have you got on the defense this week while I'm having a look at that?
Yeah. Look, for me, I've gone Jeffrey Simmons, the defensive tackle from the Titans. Now, he had a monster game against the Rams. We were talking about the Titans before. They're dominating top of the AFC. He got out and recorded six tackles, three sacks, and multiple QB hits. He was absolutely harassing Stafford all day, like the boys harassed the puss on the Mooseheads D floor at 3 a.m. in the morning. Just absolute had a sniff for it and couldn't get enough.
Yeah, he was unbelievable, wasn't he? So before I jump into mine, yeah, I've had a look. Wyatt Teller has agreed to a four-year, $56.8 million contract. So the man has got paid after you said, yeah, he's probably earning peanuts for what he's worth. So there you go. Big payday for the big man, and he could get in the team of the year. Probably a bigger feather to his cap there.
Absolutely, yeah. I can't think of anything else you'd want more.
Absolutely. All right. Now, for defense this week for me, I've gone the safety, Xavier McKinney from the New York Giants. This guy was everywhere. And as I said before, the AFC went 7-1 against the NFC, and the only one that won was the Giants. The Giants were the only ones who got the win, and McKinney was huge in that, I suppose. Seven tackles, four solo, two passes deflected, two intercepts, and one being a pick six. So I think he had a bit of a day out.
Yeah, read the man like a book. Hey, awesome. So we'll chuck those up on our socials as always. Get in touch, and voting will open once we release this pod. Now, I think our man has been able to reconnect back to the motherboard. He got tech support after, and he's back into 5G. So we will welcome back Meikle for his hot minute. How are you going?
Yeah, good. Out of the COVID protocol this week, so ready to get stuck in.
All right, then what have you got for us this week?
All right, I've turned my attention to the Saints this week and their bizarre relationship with Taysom Hill. The previous three seasons, Peyton insisted on frequently taking his Hall of Fame quarterback off the field to give Hill snaps. When Breeze got hurt last season, Peyton remodeled the offense for Hill rather than turn into a more like replacement in Winston. In the four games Hill started, he went 3-1 with four passing touchdowns coupled with four rushing touchdowns against two interceptions and had a rating over 100 in each of the wins. This summer, when with Breeze's retirement, Peyton gave a starting job to Winston, and there didn't appear to be much consideration for Hill. Despite watching the offense underwhelm so far this season, when Winston got hurt, the Saints have now turned to Simeon instead of Hill, effectively making Hill the third-string quarterback. I don't think there's an argument to be made as to why Simeon should start over Hill. Hill would at least give the Saints a unique attack rather than the known average play you get from Simeon. The Saints found snaps for Hill when it didn't make sense, signed to a four-year deal worth $140 million. That's effectively a third-string quarterback. And now that it does make sense to get him on the field, the Saints haven't. I don't know what's up with the thought process. Maybe they are seeing things behind the scenes they don't like. But in a weak NFC, I think the Saints are a real chance of playoffs at 5-3, but are at risk of blowing it by putting Simeon in ahead of Hill.
Yeah, once you said that number for the contract, I actually could not believe that they're paying him that much. There must be something going on behind the scenes. I suppose if you're not going to play him, you're going to play a bloke like Trevor Siemian, there must be something going wrong.
Oh, absolutely. Simeon's useless. Like, and to think, like, it's not like Taysom is that bad passing either. He played a couple games last year, as you said, when Breeze was injured, and he did quite well. He game managed decently. Sure, he's not the best pocket passer, but he's probably better than some of the other idiots floating around at the moment. So, and when you look back at the start of the year, we were sort of having the conversation, was it Winston or Hill? There was no mention of Simeon whatsoever. So, yeah, it's very odd that now, all of a sudden, Simeon just seems to be the guy. Like, it's not even a second thought, really.
Yeah, it's strange. Now, Michael, do you believe in the offseason, if Jameis isn't the go, do they move on and try and find someone else? And do they move on from Taysom Hill? Can they cut that contract?
Well, I don't know. I don't think you can pay effectively now a third-string quarterback $35 million a year to play a couple of tight end snaps, maybe a bit on receiver and come on the field every now and again. Like, I think that's just an absolute waste of the salary cap. Now, I think they probably hold on to Winston. I think they liked him for the first year, but it begs the question, do you cut Hill or do you just continue to pay him but pretty much sit on the bench?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's an expensive bench warmer, isn't it? You'd hope he's good at stirring the Gatorade, especially when I think when you commit to having him come in and run, say, plays out of the Wildcat, I don't know. I don't know why teams do this, because it's not like it's surprising when he comes out, because you're like, when you bring him in, it's like, oh, Taysom's in. He's going to run it. You know, what else do you put him in for? Because otherwise, if it's a pass play, you'll leave your quarterback. So I'm not sure. They're not surprising anyone anymore. I don't know. Look, it's weird. Obviously, someone upstairs, there's a bit of disconnect with whether there's a disconnect with coaching and general managing or something like that. But Taysom Hill, for all intensive purposes, is still a decent player. He's a serviceable thrower. He's a great runner. So if you just gave him the time and the reps, like they let Simeon throw it about 40 times on the weekend. Think of even if you give Taysom 30, you'll still be able to get a similar result, if not potentially better.
Yeah,
100%. I think they're, if they keep Simeon in, I think they're next to no chance of making the playoffs, to be honest. I don't think he's going to be able to stand there and deliver, throw it, like you said, 40 times a game and get them home. I just don't see that happening.
Yeah, so I suppose that's going to be crucial for the Saints over the next sort of 4 weeks. I don't know when Jameis is back. I suppose before we let you go, we'll get your take. We've picked two places we think OBJ is going to land. I've gone Packers. Peppers has gone Chiefs. Where do you think he ends up?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know about the Packers. I think, you know, they've got Devontae Adams there. They signed Randall Cobb there. Will a third one rock the boat? I'm not so sure. I don't mind Seattle. I think they could probably use another one to go with DK Metcalf. I know Wilson's been crying out for another receiver. Weak NFC, they're sort of on the cusp. So could they make a play for him? Possibly. So if I was going to back anyone, I think it would take Seahawks.
All right. Well, I guess we'll probably find that out tomorrow morning. Thanks again for joining us again, Michael.
No worries. Appreciate it.
All right. And then we move into week 10 coming up. So, kicking it off on the Thursday night game, Ravens versus the Dolphins. You'll obviously have a keen eye on this one, Cam.
Yeah, look, my Friday at work is going to be an absolute non-event. I'll get absolutely nothing done because I'll be plugged into this from 12:15. Look, the first time Lamar Jackson played was, I think, it might have been not in his first game of the next season. He absolutely wiped the floor. He's from South Florida himself. So I expect him to have a bit of a day out now. Look, the Dolphins have been fairly poor and currently at 2-7. This, I don't know what the line is in this one. I think it looks at the moment it seems to be -7.5. I don't know if that's correct on Sportsbet. That's on ESPN. But I think Ravens, I'm looking at Marquise Brown to have a big day out. And it'd be interesting to see how we go. But Andrews and Brown, I think. And Bateman is one. Bateman's probably another one that I'm really keen to see more of. We picked him up in fantasy and I think he's had a bit of a day out. He's had 10 or 11 catches and I think 10 first downs came from that.
Yeah, absolutely. Great target, Mr. Batman. We're keen to see him. Obviously, coming up against Brissett, by the looks of it, I think Tua is going to be injured again. So
Yeah, he is.
Don't know whether that's a blessing or a curse for the Dolphins, to be honest. But definitely, yeah, look, if it is -7.5, you'd be taking that in a pinch.
Yeah, absolutely. What other games you like?
Look, moving along, I think another interesting game, we were just talking about the Saints. They go to the Titans this week. So, again, this one could be a little bit in the balance depending on how the Titans manage to work their run game, essentially. Tannehill playing against quite a strong New Orleans defense and especially their secondary given. So, if considering they don't actually have much of a run game and they're coming up against that great secondary, he could struggle a little bit. But then on the flip side, you're mentioning Simeon, a bit of a garbage truck at the moment, coming up against quite a hard Titans defense.
Yeah, I think that's where it's going to be won, is how much the defense can get to Simeon, if it is Simeon playing, or if it's Michael's man Taysom Hill, whether he gets a run. But yeah, look, Titans, I think, are going to keep rolling in this one. Saints are a very good team, but as we've just talked about previously, without that quarterback lockdown, I think that could hurt them in their playoff chances.
Yeah, absolutely. Another good one could be the Browns versus the Patriots. Now, as we said, Mac Jones probably far and away one of the better rookies, at least the best rookie QB this year. High potential for rookie of the year. They host Cleveland, who are just coming off a great win. But again, they're out of running backs. I think they're going back to their third string because Chubb is now back in the COVID protocol, I believe. So he's now out for the 10 days or whatever it is. So that's certainly going to be an issue for them. I don't know how this one goes because, again, Belichick seems to know how to pick apart quarterbacks that you don't have much faith in. So someone like Baker Mayfield could come in and get absolutely roasted by this defense.
Yeah, this is an interesting one for me, I suppose. And I forgot about Chubb. I know when you've tipped the Browns to win, I'm tempted to go with the Patriots this week in their tipping because, as you said, Bill coming up against Baker, who's doing a decent job when he just has to play a role. I suppose that's he gets to pick and choose when he passes because their ground game is so dominant. As we've always said before, and you keep reiterating, is if you don't have a ground game, you don't win the game. Now, that is the case massively for the Browns. Their ground game is elite. Their offensive line is elite with their man Wyatt Teller getting paid. Can the Patriots stop that? That's probably the biggest question in this game. Can they stop their rush?
Yeah, absolutely. Another fun one will be the Broncos versus the Eagles. Potentially two high-powered offenses. Hurts and Devontae Smith have been running past couple of weeks, as we've said. Also, us coming off that nice win against Dallas, Bridgewater, Gordon, Williams, Judy. The whole team's there. I think hopefully we're leaning on having that home field advantage and just our defense being able to step up and get in front of Hurts, because I think if we're able to get down and pressure him, we'll be able to get him in to make a few mistakes and make a few hurried throws.
Yeah, geez, the boys seem like they are back. You are absolutely stocked up with your players. Now, it's interesting, I suppose, when you get Judy back. Patrick, who I think is a heavily underrated player, I wonder how that goes, because I think, do you get Sutton back or is he already playing still?
Yeah, I believe so. So it's going to be pretty stacked in the wide receiver, which is, I suppose, a good problem to have. But yeah, unfortunately, Patrick, for all that he's done, he probably is the first man out.
Yeah, I think that's pretty hard because he's very underrated. I think other teams have tried to pick him up from you guys and you've held on to, which I think is great. I suppose thinking Miko's a Eagles fan, we're going to have a little bet on this and see who wins that one.
Absolutely. I'll be enjoying this one from Sonny Byron, I think, myself. But any other games that catch your eye?
Probably the only other one for me that I've written down here is Seahawks and Packers. Now, this is all based on who is going to be playing under center for both teams, actually. I know Russell Wilson got the pin out of his finger. He could be ready to go, and this is a game that they need him in. If Meikle is right and they get OBJ, could he suit up? But the main question is, will Aaron Rodgers suit up? I know he sort of had these issues last week or so with COVID. They definitely missed him against the Chiefs, only going down 13-7. I mean, if Aaron plays that game, they win. So it's going to be interesting to see. I think if Aaron's playing and Russell's playing, it's going to be an absolute blockbuster.
Yeah, well, I think what it showed last week with Green Bay is that their defense can go out and do a serviceable job. So if they've got someone who's able to game manage on the other side and can keep them sort of off the field, they're able to keep points down and make it sort of a bit of a fight. And that way, if you've got someone that can score points, you can get over nice and easily. Geno Smith, yeah, unfortunately, he's done well. He's probably done better than any of us have expected him to be honest. But with the Seahawks sitting at 3-5, if they lose this one, considering they've got both the Cardinals and the Rams in their division, I think if they lose this one, this will be them done for the season. So I don't know if you want to rush Russell back for this, but if push comes to shove, they might need to be honest.
Yeah, I'm very excited for that game. Now, shall we go and have a look at some of the college football for this week?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, college football, again, we've got the second week of the playoff rankings. There was a little bit of movement with the loss of Michigan State, who dropped out of the top four. So now we currently have Georgia, Alabama, both staying unchanged. Oregon and now Ohio State jump into the top four, with Cincinnati and Michigan just sitting on the outside.
Yeah, look, I think we talked about this earlier today, and I suppose we talked about Bama coming a close one with LSU, but I suppose we talked about Bama has to stay too because Oregon's win over Ohio State, however, they've lost to Stanford. The only question I had with you is Michigan has now taken over Michigan State, who beat them, but Ohio State doesn't take over Oregon, who they beat. Sorry. No, is the other way around?
Yes, I believe so. Oregon beat Ohio State, so they're above.
Yeah, that's right. So Oregon beat Ohio State and they stay in front, but Michigan State beat Michigan, but they don't stay in front. That's kind of the weird one for me.
Yeah, I think, look, when you get down to trying to pick apart the college football rankings, it can get a little bit iffy. So I think probably what leans towards it is the way that Michigan State were beaten by Purdue. They were rolled essentially by a non-ranked team. Credit to the Boilovers, as we've now possessed them. But I think Michigan probably got unlucky in their game against Michigan State. So if you were to put Michigan versus Michigan State against each other, either way, it's a bit of a flip of the coin. So I think that's why I'd probably rate Michigan just higher at the moment, just because they haven't lost to an unranked team at the moment. So, I mean, it definitely does make things interesting. I think what we want to do look at also as well, UTSA, first time they were ever ranked in the top 25. Mm. So they're still 9-0. They're not going to get anywhere near the top five or top six, to be honest, just because of where they're at. They're in the Conference USA, and they haven't played anyone of note, to be honest. But I think credit to them if they go through and have an undefeated season. Good on you. But I think what we want to have a look at is specifically this week, we're going to look at Oregon and the layout of the Pac-12 at the moment.
Yep, I think that's great. Now, looking at the Ducks at three, they obviously need to win out to get in, don't they?
Yeah, correct. Because if you look at their division, so I'd say you're probably not going to have a two-loss team in the playoff. We haven't had one yet. Don't think this is going to be the first year. If it is, it'd be a team potentially like Alabama or Ohio State or maybe a Michigan. Even then, I probably wouldn't have them in. So you've got teams like Cincinnati and Oklahoma. Oklahoma, who is sitting at eight but is still unranked, and if they go through the big and win the Big 12, I'd probably put them in front of a two-loss Oregon team.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Now, I suppose their loss to Stanford's the one that's going to come and bite them on the ass, because Stanford are now 3-6 overall and 2-5 in the conference. Looking at their run home, they've got Washington State, who are now playing pretty well, who are second in the North. Mm-hmm. Utah, who is their biggest threat in the South, and then Oregon State. That probably looks like if they beat Utah the first time at Utah, they then probably go up against them again, don't they?
Yeah, likely. So I think if Oregon knock off Washington State this week, they wrap up the Pac-12 North, so they definitely get that Pac-12 game. Utah, yes, they play them. So has Utah got the win over Arizona State? Yeah, they do. So they have the tiebreaker. So likely play Utah, come back again in 2 weeks, play them again in the Pac-12 conference game. Hopefully you would think for another win if they've got that mental win over them.
Yeah, you'd think that they'd make their way through. I think that slip up against Stanford's probably just their only blip on the radar. I think they've gotten through that. They probably had a tough game against our boys Fresno State week one. But since then, They've been pretty decent. They've had some pretty solid wins, a couple of close ones, but I think they obviously Utah is going to be the big key in 2 weeks' time.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll look forward to that. Hopefully the curse does not strike again, but who knows? We're good at this lately. So please let us know. So if you have a college team that you don't want us to review, so then therefore they can make the playoffs.
Yeah, we're the giant killers, aren't we? So I suppose finishing off here, we are edging towards that magical number of 1,000 followers on Instagram. So check us out on there if you aren't already and give us a follow, and that'll probably do us for this week.
Sounds good to me. All right, we'll catch you all next week.
Thanks for letting us in your crib. It's been real.